today on Real Radio.
Those who have been disillusioned, those who are depressed, those who have lost their way, those who are troubled, those whose souls are at the point of breaking. The brokenhearted. Jesus has come to liberate and to free the brokenhearted.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter's writing to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition. Suffering and sorrow awaited them. Doesn't it sound a lot like today? Now, as we reach the end of chapter 2, we see how Peter changes his focus from suffering and discouragement to our behavior as Christians. We are called to obey Christ in humbleness and to submit to those God has put over us. God always has a plan, that's the truth, and everything belongs to Him. God put leaders over us for our learning, and those who rule over us are in His hands, not ours. So today, on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus came for the poor in spirit and to heal the brokenhearted. He came for those who have lost their way in life and whose souls are at the breaking point. The enemy, Satan, roams about looking for those he can destroy, but Jesus, well, He lights our way, setting us free from a world that's held us in bondage and sin. And now in his message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Peter chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to that. We're going to dive back in. I know it's been a long time since we've been in 1 Peter, but we are going to finish off the last and final installment of an interesting portion of Scripture. You might think on the onset of it that it doesn't apply to us, but it does. You'll see. But 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to be ending this section, verses 18 to 25. Father, we pray now that this portion of Scripture, Lord, which is profound in many directions, Lord, we pray that You would apply to each and every one of us this truth. Not a truth, this truth. Father, that we would live in such a way that whatever we're experiencing in life, we would choose to follow You and obey You, and Lord, that You might be glorified. And so, Father, we pray that You would give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here today, the church, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. We are continuing to look at this message that is entitled here in chapter 2, The Ever-Present Jesus Christ. Peter's been addressing the diaspora, those who have been driven out from their homes, out from their lives, into the wilderness, as it were, of the empire. And so to say that they were running for their lives is an understatement. And he's speaking to them, and the first century church was very different than the 21st century church is today in this sense. The complexion of the church 21 centuries ago was predominantly made up of those, not exclusively, but predominantly those of slaves and servants. That's right. Listen, the church, the gospel was preached in Jerusalem. And right in the opening throes of the gospel being preached, we read the book of Acts, where in one sermon alone by Peter, in a matter of moments, 3,000 people got saved. Instantly, the church became a mega church in a matter of moments when the gospel went out in Jerusalem. Then we know as we read the book of Acts, it happens again, and then again, and again, and the gospel spreads to Judea, out to Samaria, and eventually to the ends of the earth. And when the Bible is talking about the ends of the earth in the first century, it went to Rome and beyond. The Bible tells us also in the book of Acts that there were those of Caesar's household that had become believers. And it's understood in church history that those believers were slaves and servants, and many of them were Roman centurions who were converted to Christ. And so the church was growing, and as it grew, it was very appealing. What was the answer for its appeal was the fact that slaves and servants would hear that Jesus Christ is actually Lord, that they could experience freedom from within, that the world that they lived in may have had them bound, but they could be set free. And isn't that an awesome truth today, church? No matter where the gospel goes, it doesn't matter if you're behind bars or on the other side of bars. By the way, you know, bars are physical things. You could be in prison behind locked bars, but you could also be in prison today in some great estate or some mansion, because it's an issue of the soul. And today, as we looked at this study in our third and final installment of the ever-present Jesus, there's an amazing truth that he gives to us regarding the character of Christ and those who follow him, we the believers. By introduction, I'm going to ask you to write this down. It's the mission of Jesus's ministry. If you were to be asked in a class, or if somebody were to ask you, what's up with Jesus? Well, you could answer them really in just about one verse. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus himself, I love it, listen everybody, Jesus answers his mission and commences the ministry by fulfilling Bible prophecy. Luke 4, verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, notice, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted meaning those who have been disillusioned. Listen up carefully. Those who are depressed. Those who have lost their way. Those who are troubled. Those whose souls are at the point of breaking. I underline that in light of our community this last week, where a dark cloud has come upon our community. This is not the way that our town should be known nationwide. But all across the land, news reports have reported the tragic and sad death of one of our local senior pastors who took his own life in a time of great despair this last week. The brokenhearted, Jesus has come to liberate and to free the brokenhearted. Maybe your heart is tempted as we're hearing reports. Young people are calling us. People are pulling us off to the side. Middle-aged people are asking us. Older people now are asking, I don't want to live anymore. All of a sudden, there's a heightened awareness, which, by the way, I'm personally angry about. Let me tell you why. Let me explain. I'm angry about it because Satan's on the move. You know what? Whenever there's hopelessness and brokenheartedness to the point of you losing despair, that is the work of the enemy. Now look, he wins some battles here and there along the way, but before that we come to the end of this message, I hope I'm faithful to what God has laid on my heart. Just remember this, Satan loses the war in the end. He'll always lose. By the way, God cannot lose. It's impossible for God to lose. He can't lose. And our community is not losing. The Christian community is not losing. God is at work and he uses all things. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This is the ministry and the mission of Jesus. And Peter, who knew what it was like to be having that verse fulfilled in his life, he's now an old man ministering to the Christians that are on the run. And for that matter, the Holy Spirit gives us 1 Peter to teach the church everywhere several key things. By the way, by way of review, because it's been many weeks since we've been here, the ever-present Jesus Christ, verses 11 to 25, we saw this, that the ever-present Jesus illuminates the way of the righteous. Remember that? Jesus illuminates the way of the righteous. Why? Number one, because for us not to get lost. Jesus illuminates our way. He does that by leading us and guiding us so that we don't get lost. We need to remember that. He also shows us the way more clearly. The Christian is led by the Lord that we might see the world events around us clearly. We don't need to be worried. And we saw at the end of verse 12 that Jesus illuminates the way of the righteous because God wants to use you, every one of us, as believers. Secondly, we saw last time together that Jesus elevates the way of the humble. The Christian is to be known for their honest humility, not some announced humility, not some fake Humid, not humid. I've been in Hawaii, huh? Humility, not something fake. But when the believer looks into the eyes of God, as it were, through the word of God, you begin to realize, there go I but for the grace of God. When someone draws near to Jesus, it should be seen by a sense of humility. We saw in verses 13 to 14 that if that happens, there'll be an intentional faith that is humble. We saw also that there's a faith that is confident. Strange to be humbled by God, yet confident, because our confidence is in the word of God. And then, to me, this was most exciting, verses 16 and 17, is that the Christian, in his faith in God, her faith in God, is an empowered faith. We have no power, Christian, you and I. By the way, can I say this? When people say, you know what, you just need to have faith in faith. If you just had more faith. I wrote this book, Having Faith in Faith. Listen, don't buy the book. Well, I'm going to hold a seminar. It's all about developing your faith and more faith in faith. Don't go. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, listen up. You are empowered, listen, not by the faith, but the object of which your faith is in. The great thing is our object is not an it is a he. It is Christ. So the object of your faith is Jesus Christ, and that is ultimate power in our belief. It's not us. It's him. And when we go to him, we can expect all power. And so today, now we pick it up. The ever-present Jesus Christ liberates the way of the captive. And I want to use some sarcasm and some opposites in the application today, just by way of illustration. I'm going to do that in three different ways. If you're a note taker, Jesus Christ liberates the way of the captive. You say, well, if he liberates the captive, then is the captive still captive or liberated? Yes. The answer to that is yes. Are you a Christian? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Do you understand that we've been completely liberated, but we've been liberated by our captivity to Christ? We're no longer captive to the world that once held us in bondage. The world used to say certain things to us, and by golly, we got up and we did it. We obeyed the flesh. We obeyed our desires. We obeyed what the world dictated to us, and we proclaimed to be free and to be calling our own shots. And every time we did that, we wound up becoming more enslaved to the demands of this world. And I think if you're a Christian, all of you know what I'm talking about. No, listen, to be truly liberated is to allow yourself to be captivated under the lordship of Jesus Christ, to come under his rule and his reign. So the world offers, for example, freedom. We're going to be looking at that, a false freedom. Jesus liberates us from a false freedom. Secondly, we'll be looking at Jesus liberating us from a false justice. The world talks about justice today. Like, for example, your rights. That's all we hear about today. It's almost the 11th commandment. Rights, rights, civil rights, women's rights, race rights, employment rights. Give me some. I'm drawing a blank. What are some of the... Everything's a right these days. Right this, right that, right the other. And look, I'm not faulting the world. That's what the world does. But we're Christians. What rights do we have? Oh, listen up. It's quiet in the house right now. According to the Bible, you and I don't have any rights. Did you know that? According to the Bible, we're slaves and servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he says goes for us. This is what it means to be a Christian, is to follow what he says. And then at the end today, in verses 24 to 25, we'll see that Jesus liberates us from righteousness, self-righteousness. It's either the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and my sin and rose again from the dead, and you trust him completely for that, or you don't. So let's look at it together, verses 18 to 25. Jesus liberates the way of the captive. In verse 18, it begins here. He liberates us from freedom, from a false freedom. He says, and it's just awesome, Peter's announcing, servants, be submissive to your masters with all reverence, awe, or fear. This is not a, 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 horrible fear, even though the Greek word is phobos. It doesn't mean to be, you know, in terror. It means to be in awe of your master. You see, Jack, right there, first verse has nothing to do with my life. But wait a minute. Yes, it's true. 21 centuries ago, slaves and servants made up the Christian community globally. But we're in America now. And there is no servitude or slavery. But did you know, by the way, friends, did you know that slavery is alive and well in areas of Southeast Asia? Did you know that? Watch this. Did you know that slavery is tragically alive and well in North Africa? Have you forgotten that? People are being sold. Listen, there's areas of India you can go and you can buy people. And then there's the black market trade of human trafficking. Slavery. So I love how the Bible encompasses the age, or I should say the ages. If you lived, for example, in Southeast Asia today in the 21st century and you picked up this portion of Peter and you were a slave, wouldn't you be glad that it addressed your life personally? You see, yeah, but what about us in America? Well, you know, you could easily, and some commentators will even say so. It could read this way in our age. Employees, be submissive to your employers. With all respect. Why do we bring this up? Why is it brought up in the Bible? Because listen, how can you and I show a witness for Jesus Christ in the world that you and I live in when we go to work? As a believer, I'm a strong believer in what I'm about to say. I lived this and I live it now. It's a big deal. For me, this is one of those hills to die on. As a Christian, when the Bible says servants, slaves, be submissive to your masters, or employees, be submissive to your employer, I believe that I should be able to walk through an office or a construction site or whatever it might be, and I should be able, without a word, I should be able to watch the employees. It might take a day, it might take a week, it could take a month, but I firmly believe this, that I would be able to pick out who the Christians are in those companies. I believe it. I so believe that. Why? Because the Christian doesn't work for the employer. The Christian works for God. The employer is simply the one who watches my witness. Watch this. He, she, they are watching my witness as I walk before my God in their public world. Hey, they got a front row seat to me loving on God. Listen, don't raise your hand, but are you employed? If you have a job, that is your mission field. Well, Pastor, you don't know the bozo I work for. That bozo you work for has been ordained by God, if you work there, to be the person to whom you are to be shining your light upon. You say, no, I think I got the job by accident. I don't care how you got the job. Are you not there now? Will you not be there tomorrow? Then you're there for God. And you live for His glory. And God will bless you. Listen, don't tell anybody. This is very personal. Many, many years ago, Lisa and I started having babies, and we didn't have any benefits. And so I went and applied at a job for a big global corporation because they had great benefits. So I went and I applied for the job. I think I was like 21 years old. And it was this, whatever the job was, and I interviewed, and I got it. And they said, okay, show up in 2 weeks. And so I show up, and they said, you know what, we gave your job to somebody else. And I'm thinking, this is great. Now I don't have a job. I quit my job to come to this job. And they said, no, I'm sorry. No, we gave your job away because we think that you'd be better doing this other thing. I was completely shocked. So they drove me over to another location. And you guys, I wish you could have been there. They take me into this place. They open up the door. And have you ever seen like Frankenstein movies? It looked just like that. There were electrodes and glass vases, and there were all of these equipment and scientific stuff, and there were tubes and things. And I'm looking, and they go, yeah, we're going to have you work here. I was not qualified. I was terrified. And I didn't know what to do. And I said, oh God, you got to help me. And I wound up doing it for the Lord because I was absolutely unable to do it for anybody else. God blessed it. God raised me up. And then by the time I left there, I'm supervising this research laboratory with people with degrees from Johns Hopkins University and Northwestern University. And HR said, Jack, you can't tell anybody that you don't have those degrees. They think you do. Just shut up and do the job. And that's our secret. I'm serious. That's why I just said a moment ago, don't tell anybody. And I was there 13 years and I wound up resigning because this church got too big and I had to do this full time instead. My point is this. When you don't know what to do, do it for God. When everybody's looking, do it for God. When nobody's looking, do it for God at all times. And God will honor, God will bless. Listen, the world offers you freedom. It's bondage. The greatest way to be free is to do and live whatever you do under the slavery of your master, Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3. We're so glad you joined us today, and let Jesus lead you towards his scriptures. They'll brighten your day, that's the truth, and they'll guide you towards victory when all seems lost. The Ever-Present Jesus Christ, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and I want to give you another reason why you should vote, and that is a strong military. You know, a lot of us don't think about the military because so many have been at peace, and we live in a nation that is flanked by two vast oceans. We have friends to the south and friends to the north, but we don't often think about it. But listen, we do need to think about it. You want to know why you and I have enjoyed peace for so long on our own soil? It's because of a strong military. A nation cannot survive without a strong military. And so it is viable, it is so important that you and I vote for a candidate and for a party that stands to build up our military strength, because George Washington said it right and Ronald Reagan said it again. And that is, we are to enjoy peace through strength. Did you know that? If you're strong, nobody will pick on you. That's how you have peace. America needs to be strong so nobody picks on us. And a side note, that we might go and help nations that need our help when they call. To advance liberty and freedom, you must have a strong military. So join me, because it's time to pray, vote, and stand.
Where is America headed? If the radical left has their way, it will be socialism, keeping you, your family, and your God locked up. How about globalism? Are you ready for a singular world government? Mike Huckabee says,
if we yield over and decide that America is not unique, it's not special, it's not extraordinary, well, at that point, we've already capitulated to nothingness. We no longer are the United States of America.
Now, a documentary, After Trump, A Warning to America. This must-see film is now on demand at jackhibbs.com/aftertrump.
Now, if Donald Trump would have had a hat that said, make the world great again, the world would have fallen over in love with him.
Featuring interviews with Mike Huckabee, Jack Hibbs, Franklin Graham, Eric Metaxas, Alveda King, and nationally syndicated talk show host, Dennis Prager.
The left, in the words of Barack Obama, want to fundamentally transform the United States of America. I don't. I want to improve the United States of America because I love it. You can't love something you want to fundamentally transform.
Watch on demand now. After Trump, A Warning to America. It's time to rescue our America. And it's up to us, we the people.
Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny.
Go to jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.